It's so good to be here today. I appreciate Todd in encouraging us about 21 days, so do be a part of that. I want you to be here for that and impact today. So we're starting a brand. By the way, welcome to the first Sunday of 2025. I was here this morning, and it's weird because I knew it was, but when I was going through my message and trying to work on some things, I thought, it's the first Sunday. So happy January to you. I hope your New Year's resolution isn't already messed up. I hope you're still on that, and I hope you stay on that and work hard at being better. But every year, for the last several years, we have come up with a word or a phrase or a thought. There's people doing this online. People do this. Churches do this all the time. And I had been thinking about, praying about, wondering about, okay, what are we going to do for 25? Who remembers the word from 24? Unify, yes, unify. And the reason I wanted to unify, the reason we needed unity is, and here's the thing, ever since we started talking about unifying, the enemy's been after us to be disunified. So when you invite something into your life, like a resolution or something good or reading your Bible more or whatever, the enemy will always try to trip you up and figure that out. You're already thinking, man, 6 o'clock in the morning? Dude, I don't even, like, move before 7, you know, or anything. You're already thinking, how do you do that every day throughout the week and on and on? I promise you, if you come, you won't be disappointed. And if you can't come, like Todd said, no guilt trip, but if you can't come, that you can get the Church of the Highlands app and you can listen to the same thing we're listening to every day, and they simulcast it all over the world, literally. They give shout-outs to churches that do that, and their generosity has been amazing to be able to let everybody in on what they're doing, and it's amazing. And I'll just say this, and where's Jennifer here? Jennifer not here today? Bless her heart. Okay, I miss her. Yeah, and so our prayer team is the reason our church is growing, ultimately. I believe that. I believe prayer is the answer to how we move forward in our life, in every aspect of our life. And the deeper I go with Holy Spirit, the more I see how He's moving in my life. Especially over the last couple of weeks, it's been really, really amazing to sense and know Him even more deeply. And to pray, it creates a situation where your prayer life is completely different. I'm ramming a little bit to say this. I want you to concentrate on whatever it is you want to focus on in your life. But as a church, for 2025, the word light is what we're going to focus on. And so and this all happened. I was driving home from I play in a band over in Florence, and we do all kinds of music, country, and we do both kinds. One guy in our band says we do country and Western. But anyway, we do all kinds of music, and we had our Christmas show. And I was on the way back from the Christmas show, and Carly Ann, my granddaughter, called me. Or I think she texted me, actually. My car will talk to you, but it seemed like she was talking to me. But it was one of those things where I was like, oh, hey, what's up? You know, and she said, we had a candlelight service. They went to the Highland service that night, and they had a candlelight service. And she said, Papa, I'd love to do that sometime. And I said, and I thought that was cool. That's great. We've done that. I thought, well, let's just do that. Let's just have one. Let's just do that. And I was thinking next Christmas. Well, I hung up the phone, and I'm driving on 72 coming home, and it was like God was speaking to me in some sense and saying, I don't know if it was audible or anything like that, but in some sense it's like, dude, light is where you need to be. In the light, pursuing the light, talking about the light, walking in the light, and on and on and on. And I just started having these thoughts in my mind. And I thought, could it be that her call prompted that and God laid that on my heart? We're going to go with that. And the next thing that came into my mind is, you are the light of the world. City, like a city set on a hill, cannot be hidden. If the city set on a hill cannot be hidden, and we're that city, and by the way, we're not the only, there's a lot of people in this area that are the city. It's not like Discovery Church is the only beacon of light in the world. God help us if that's true, because that would be a daunting task. But there's Christians, there's believers all over the world. The light is shining in the world. And here's the thing. I'm noticing that it's shining deepest in places that it's darkest. And we're going to see that. We're going to see that in the Word here in just a bit. So you are a city set on a hill. If you want to make that super personal, you believers, you guys at home, you guys are a city set on a hill. That means your family becomes a city set on a hill. That means you become set on a hill in your school and wherever you are, and that light shines into a dark world. So you're going to see the theme of light show up in our messages, in our thoughts, in our music, in all the things that we do throughout the year. And I want you to just imbibe that into your own life. You may have chosen your own word for you or whatever, but I want you as a church, as Discovery Church, we're gonna promote that. And so we're really instruments of transformation. I want to get to that in my message in a little bit. God is using the light that's in us to transform the world, and it's our responsibility to move that. So I'm going to be speaking today on the topic. Today is God the source of light. He is the source of it. That's why the series is called Let There Be Light. And just before I go any further, next Sunday, I've asked Emily. She's been wanting to speak for a long, long time. And she spoke last year, I think, once. And she's going to be speaking next Sunday here. And talk. Yeah, that's all right. It's all right to clap for that. And she's going to be talking about Jesus as the light of the world. And the next week is the Holy Spirit who lives in us, who gives us the ability to be the light. So, you know, this idea that we're sinful people, but we beat ourselves up and say, well, I just can't be anything but sinful. Well, that's wrong. Holy Spirit's given us the power to repudiate sin in our life, to push it away in our life, and he gives us that strength and that power to do that. And some of that stuff's happening in my own life, and it's just awesome. And then the last Sunday this month, we're going to talk about walking in the light and make it a very personal evangelistic Sunday. You know why? Because that's Baptism Sunday. I grew up in the Church of Christ. Every day was Baptism Sunday, and that's still true for us as a church. You do not have to wait till next Sunday if you need water baptism to be baptized. Just call me. We'll work it out. We'll figure it out, okay? Whenever we can, we'll make it, schedule it, get it over here and do that. Can't promise you the water will be warm. But anyway, my point is, Baptism Sunday next week is a push to bring as many people that you know of who need water baptism here so they're going to hear a message from the gospel, and then we're going to share that, and then afterwards we're going to have it all set up. There will be no excuses for anybody. We'll have clothes. We'll have the ability where they can't say, well, I don't have any family here. Well, we're going to video record it. They can see it. You can put it on Facebook. Whatever. Literally, there will be no excuses for anybody to say, I don't want water baptism. It's a command of God. It's a part of the walk of salvation. And so we're going to promote it and start doing these, hopefully, on a more regular basis than we have. Same thing for communion. And so we want to shine as lights, okay? And so what I want to do is get in. Y'all ready for some word? Y'all get your message notes out. If you came in and got to worship God this morning, there should be some notes in there. If you didn't get one of those, if you want to go to our app, you can download our app, Discovery Church Athens. You can download it from wherever you get your apps. And you can do your notes there, or you can go online at our website and do the same thing. Fill in those notes, and they'll email them to you. You have copies of those. Many of our partners don't know. There's some white notebooks in the back there that you've already purchased. If you like to do notes, handwritten notes, we put notes every week. Ken and Kim take care of that. They make sure that we have notes every week. And so you can put those in the binder and keep those. And many of you have been doing that for a very, very long time. Very, very long time. Can I just, I was sitting on my drums and we were singing. I can't start talking. Y'all know how emotional I am anyway. I've been just thinking, so mighty, so holy, so wonderful. I mean, such an awesome God. And it just dawned on me, and I felt this sense that somebody needs to hear that more than maybe you ever have. That no matter how you feel or where you are, God is awesome. He really is. And you need him in your life. And I don't want to take another step forward without even the opportunity. Yeah, you guys just bring the lights down if you would, just real quick. We don't usually do this till the end of service. We're going to do this now just for a moment. And I just you take the lights off of me too. I don't want me being in the way. I want to ask you this morning, right now, if you're in this room and you have a situation in your life that you need prayed over, I don't want to go one step further without giving you an opportunity. Please, y'all don't be looking around at each other. Sometimes people are embarrassed about it. We're not going to close eyes and bow heads, because I think you need to be able to proclaim publicly that Jesus is somebody I need in my life. So if there's anybody in this room right now that's never assented to faith, that means you've accepted Christ. Colossians 2 verse 6, John chapter 1, those who received Christ, and all these concepts that it's the first step of faith. Is there anybody in the room right now? Maybe you at home. I don't know. Just need me to pray with you and for you about that. Is there anybody right now that needs that at all in the room? Yes. Is there anybody in the room right now? Go beyond that a step. You've already accepted Christ. He is your Savior. You know him. You've been baptized into Christ. And all those phrases that we use and things that we use in Christendom. But right now you have a situation in your life that's completely out of your control. I'm raising my hand because I have one. Anybody else? Thank you. give you one more shot to raise your hand. I want to pray over you. So, God, before we go a step further, from wall to wall in this room and in the quietness of this moment, we cry out to you. You say, be still and know you are God. Literally, to lay down on your bed and be still and know. God, we're not still enough. And sometimes in the stillness, Lord, my mind races. And I find so many things to think about besides you. So in this moment, right now, the hands that went up all over this room, who have situations out of their control, some like mine is physical, some are mental, some, Lord, are emotional issues, some have family members who are far away who are sick and they can't go see them. That's Brother Scott's mom. And some, Lord, just have marital issues, going through divorces, going through issues and problems. Some I don't even know about. There's job situations. People are struggling either to look for and find or struggling in the position where they are. Father, there's some here who are not even here this morning that would raise their hand if they were in here, knowing that they have situations, even issues within the church or some issue like that. God, you're a God who knows everything about all of us. We cannot thank you enough for being that God. And so, Father, I pray over every one of those hands that raised, every situation that needs you. And I pray, Father, that you will bless, you will heal. You will heal before we know we're even healed, that you will fix depression, that you will fix anxiety, Lord, that you will come into hearts of lives and you will find jobs and you will find opportunities and or help people to accept where they are and to know that you are their God anyway. Whatever that is, marital problems, issues, friendships, school problems, God, you say in your word that we can trust you to heal us of all of our diseases and our issues and our problems. So we lean into that promise this morning as we begin this message, Lord. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. God's light is power. There's your first blank for 2025. Come on, I know that was a little heavy. Everybody take a deep breath. Sometimes we need heavy. Sometimes we need to lean in. Sometimes we need to press into a moment when we say, oh, here's a moment. I want to press in, but it's going to cost me a little anxiety, a little time, a little thinking, a little process. Let's process. Let's stop pushing away. When we have a God who is light, he is the source of light. He created not just physical light, but the concept over Genesis chapter 1 that we're going to read in a moment, that concept is he lighted the world that was only darkness at the time. And he didn't need the sun to do it. Look what the word says. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Holy Spirit was there. And God said, and there was. I love those two highlighted words in that sentence. God said, let there be light, and there was light. Simply by the pronunciation of what the thing that he said, his breath, in the Hebrew it's the ruach, it's the spirit. It's hard for us even to find words in English to describe what's going on here, but this idea is that he spoke light into utter, absolute, void darkness, and he said in that moment, by doing what he did, I have authority over darkness. And yet when we walk in our lives and we get into a dark place, sometimes the last thing we say is, oh, God, help me here. He said, I have all the authority, I have all the ability, I have everything that you need. And right now with my situation, yours, you're going, what if? What if things don't work out? What if things do change? What if things change and I don't want change? And all of a sudden, the antithesis of that question is, what if it does work out? What if the things go away that need to go away? What happens when God shows up and he does his thing? What happens? I'll tell you what happens. Darkness leaves, and light takes its place. We don't leave a room and turn on the dark switch. We just turn off the lights. When you come into a room, you don't say, oh, turn off the dark switch, turn on the light. No, you just turn on the light, and the light dispels all of the darkness. And here's the cool thing is God never quit creating light. He has always been creating light. And I love how creative he is with light. When we put this building and stuff, we put everything in here and all these lights and stuff and all the LEDs and the color and all that stuff. This wasn't just so we could have a cool performance on the stage. It was to set an ambiance in a room. And I'm going to tell you something. You can call that what you want to call it, but when you set atmosphere in a room, it creates a time and a place and a space for God to come in. There's those words. Liz, we were talking about that last night. The space and the grace to be able to move forward. We were talking about that last night. Offering God this place. If your heart is not set up with the proper openness to what God is going to do, then whatever light he tries to shine into it is going to be blocked out by the darkness that you push it away, because God is not going to force you to do anything. He's not. He loves you that much that he wants it to be a choice. He wants it to be a choice. And so God didn't stop creating. So number two, God's light transforms. God's light. Blank number two for 2025 is God's light transforms. And the transforming power of God's light lives in every one of us. And we're going to give that a great illustration of that in just a moment. See, the scripture says, and I love 2 Corinthians. I love the Corinthian letters. I think part of it's because, man, that church was so messed up. I grew up in a church that kept saying, we need to be like the New Testament church. We need to be like the New Testament church. Well, what they meant was, we need to do the things that they did so we'll be like them in that way. But you do not want to be the church of Corinth. There was a messed up stuff going on there. And when Paul writes to them, he opens this idea and concept that I'm going to share with you in the fourth message of the series, this idea and concept that the Spirit is that which comes and takes over. And literally, the Holy Spirit helps you see things in a way you've never seen things before. That's the transformation thing that happens in us. Well, he says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7, we now have the light shining in our hearts, and we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God and not from ourselves. God's light comes into our life to transform us, and we are broken vessels. If you are broken, it's generally through those dark places that the light shines out. In their particular situation, if you had a piece of pottery that was cracked and you put a candle in it, the candle's not going, or whatever, they didn't have candles, but you put the oil in it to burn, the light's got to come out or through those cracks to be able to illuminate the room. And that's the kind of the picture that I see here, that every one of you and I myself are all broken in some way, and it's through that brokenness oftentimes that God shows his love and mercy to the world. We are broken, but our God is not. And I think sometimes people get that confused. They look at the church and see a bunch of broken people and a bunch of sinners and a bunch of whatever. Y'all, we get these reviews on Facebook, and sometimes I read them and I just go, I mean, not Facebook, but on Google, and I just wonder what people are doing. It's almost like they are coming to church here not to see what we do so they can try to be a part of it and make what we do better, but to see what we do so they can dog us out on Google. And it's hilarious because it's kind of like bad publicity also can be good publicity, because when Chelsea responds to that, all of a sudden people see our heart bigger than they see the person who put the bad review on there. And we respond in ways so that people can understand, hey, we love you. A couple of years ago, we got dogged out because we had a fall festival and somebody said we was worshiping the devil over here. And I was just like, come on, man. But anyway, on and on, you come up with all these different kinds of ideas. But y'all, we are broken. And so when people look at us and our imperfect way oftentimes of saying the things that we do, man, I've gotten off the stage before afterwards and somebody asked me about something I said and I went, did I really say that? You know, sometimes it just comes out and you didn't mean for it to come out that way or whatever, because I'm broken, but my God is not. Stop judging my God because I'm broken. And he's not broken at all. In fact, we are not transformed simply to have a better life, and we will. Your life will be better if you're transformed in Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean your problems will go away. It just means you'll be able to walk through those problems in a different way. And here's the description Paul gives us in this 2 Corinthians passage, a little bit before what I read before. He says, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. We preach Jesus Christ is Lord, and we ourselves are your servants for Jesus' sake. So he's saying, we preach what Christ gave. Christ gets in our heart, gives us, we preach that, and so that you yourselves can understand that we're doing this for Jesus, not for you or anybody else. For God who said, let there be light in the darkness. Paul goes back and grabs this first phrase of the Bible and brings it here and uses it as a metaphor. Y'all know what that is, right? Well, I don't know what it is, but anyway. But a metaphor is kind of like this. Okay, it's kind of like this. God said, let there be light, and he says this. He's made this light, that's the light of Jesus, shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. It's almost like Matthew 5 that I'll read a little bit later on. It's like God's light shines in us so God can be seen. God's light shines in us so God can be seen. You don't just decide you're going to be a godly father so that you can be a godly father and your kid can go say, man, my dad's the bomb. No, you say, I want to be a godly father so my kids will see Jesus in me and they'll follow Jesus. That's the point. That's the point. That ought to be the way we are with, whether we're teachers or preachers or family members or whatever it is that we do, wherever you work and all of that. Because here's the thing, and I didn't get this in your notes. I should have, but I did not. We are transformed to transform. We are transformed to transform. We're not transformed. And I had this all messed up for many years of my life. I thought, I just got to be a good Christian so I can get to heaven. That's all. I just want to get to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. And I basically came to Jesus for fire insurance. I didn't want to go and burn the rest, you know, for eternity. I didn't want all of that in my mind. And so I came to God in that way, but that's matured over time. And now I see that that transformation took place, he says, for Jesus' sake, so that I could help transform other people. The light of God in us has changed us, and that means that we have the responsibility. We have a responsibility to change the atmosphere wherever we go. That's being the light, whether you're at home, work, play, school, church, everywhere. And so just as the light has the power to change the atmosphere in a dark room, so does God's light have the power to change not only hearts, but minds and lives, and the hearts and minds and lives of ourselves and those of others. You guys, you probably noticed we got a lot of children in here today, and so we're running low a little bit on children's ministry workers and that kind of stuff. And by the way, thank God for our kids, all right? We love it. I love it. When they start crying or being rambunctious, don't freak out. That's just life happening in a church. Okay, it's just life happening in a church, and I love it. And so we're glad you guys are in here today. But those little minds need to be shaped now. Don't wait. Like the woman who came to me when I was a youth minister, and she said, well, this kid's name was like Regina or something. And she said, well, I think it's time. She's 12 years old. It's time to get Regina in church. And in my youth minister, non-very nice way of saying it, I said, you're about 12 years too late. Now, I quickly said, it's never too late. So I wasn't trying to be ugly, but I'm going to say, you start that before you ever get with child. If you'll fix it at home, you get with child. That's the next series. Come on, that's February. We're coming. We're going to get there. You fix that part, then they'll see what you do, because they're going to mimic everything you do. And they're going to say words, and you go, where did they get that? Oh, something I was watching on TV or something I said or whatever. They're like little sponges. They're gonna soak it up. Aren't you glad that we have God who has this creative power, and it's not just limited to when he said, let there be light. It is put in us in order to have the power. And we don't do things for power's sake. I don't want power over you. I don't want power over anyone. I want God's power to live in you. And so that's the transformation that we need to bring. So I made point one, God is light, and he is the power, he is the source. And we face confusion and despair and hurt and pain and physical pain and mental pain and emotional pain and all those things. And we try to do everything we can first, and then we say, oh, by the way, let's just talk to God about it. No, he's wanting us to come to him. He brought the light into the world, and he will bring clarity and light in your situation if you allow him to do that. And point number two, I said we have the authority in this world. And when we are transformed by the Lord, by the way, that's the step you got to take. I can't tell you how many times I've had parents come to me and say, well, yeah, I'm a pretty good guy, but I want my kids to be a good Christian. Y'all hear the problem in that statement? There's a problem in saying, well, I'm a pretty good person, but I want everybody around me to be strong believers. Transformation has to take place in here. And let me tell you something. It is a lifelong process. I'm so much better than I was, but I'm nowhere near where I want to be. And so when you think you've arrived, you need to really, really be careful right there, okay? Pride goes before a fall. And a haughty spirit. Destruction brings the haughty spirit from the haughty spirit. I just messed that all that up. That's King James. I messed it up. We shine for him. And today, what we're going to do together
as we're going to see a physical example of what it means and how much we can change the world with the light that we have. Now, when you came in today, you had a candle sitting in your chair. If you didn't, there should be one around you. And so I want you to go ahead and grab one of those. Now, actually, everybody had one except me. Is this mine? I want to end the service today with this concept of how light changes us. And we're going to do this with a candlelight ceremony. Now, I know there's a lot of ambient light around us, and that's okay. That's okay. So I'm going to light my candle. You guys that are coming to be the initial candle lighters, Micah's going to come up and lead us in worship in a moment. When I light this candle, I'm going to try not to light it too early because these can burn pretty quickly, I think. And that doesn't do a lot for the room, but it does a lot for my space right here, right where I am. And so the idea here is that I want you to understand that everybody has the same light. So you guys come on up. Please, when you get light, when your candle is lit, please don't lean the lighted candle. That's just, you know, kind of common sense there, but I've learned that common sense isn't real common. So be sure as you light, they're going to come and light the ends of the aisles. Y'all go ahead and do that. So let's start this all the way through. They'll bring, I just did what I told y'all not to do. I started this message today, and I reminded you of why we're here. And our word for the year is light. In that moment, I read the passage, Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. You are the light of the world. Like a city sitting on a hill, it cannot be hidden. I want to finish that passage. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. And that would be dumb in their culture for sure, because oil was expensive and it was an oil lamp. And you put a basket over an oil lamp, you're wasting your oil, you're wasting your time, because the light can't get out of that. When I was a kid singing in church, we'd sing, hide it under a bushel. No, because that's the King James Version. Hide it under a bushel? No, I'm going to let it shine. He says, instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the house. And I love this phrase. In the same way. What does it mean in the same way? Well, it means the light that you don't put under a basket that's held out lights everyone around you. So in the same way, he says, let your good deeds, that's your light, it's what you do for others and bless others in. Let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. So the point is not for you to get praise. The point is for the heavenly Father to get praise. Now, I want you to notice something. Everybody in this room has the same light. So I don't have a special light because I'm on stage. Micah doesn't have a special light because he's playing guitar. He don't have a light right now. But anyway, but if he had a light, it wouldn't be any more special than yours. They're all the same because we have the same Lord. But I'm going to tell you something. When we collectively shine our lights, we're going to drop the lights off the stage. When I want everybody in the room to just lift your light and watch the difference. And the point I want you to go home with is that you make a difference. You make a difference. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, I make a difference. You see, your light means something. It is meaningful. And all of us together as a church, as we lift our lights and go into the world today, understand that you're making a difference in our community and in our world. That source of light is God. And you have that light so that you can light elsewhere. And you can take that light and transform other lives. Can I get an amen from somebody? You see, this morning, as we end our service, you can bring those down. As we end our service this morning, and by the way, we blow these out. Don't just lay them in your seat, please.
hold on to them. There's buckets at the back of the room for you to put those in as you leave. I want you to go be the light. Everybody say authority. You have authority to do many, many, many wonderful things. Jesus said we could do things that that was greater than what they saw those guys do. So walk in that authority. Can I just be real like transparent? And sometimes I need you to help me walk in that authority. Because I can get in those what if moments. What if this doesn't happen? Or what if that doesn't happen? And so many times it takes somebody else to say, what if it does? When God shows up, he does amazing things. So, Father, as we hold this symbolic light, I pray, Father, right now, you will help us to be the light to the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship together.
Oh, it's where I want to be. Oh, it's what's in your life. Oh, to shine for you, so I just want to be in the light.
That's a declaration. Declare it over your life today. Let's go be the light. Now, this morning, at the end of our service, we're going to end just like where we are right now. And I'm going to ask our prayer team to be down front. So I'm already down here. Can come for prayer. We're going to just play music as you guys are leaving, and feel free to come and be prayed over, prayed for. There's something in your life I know that you need prayed for, prayer for. Please don't miss an opportunity today to pray over that particular thing. I love you guys. I love you so much. So you can blow those candles out, and we can we'll be dismissed. God, go with us today. Help us to be who you called us to be in Jesus' name. And everybody say a good amen right there. Amen. I love you guys.